Very happy to welcome to the show right now our good friend from NFL Network, Charles Davis. Charles, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Vic. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you for taking a little time out with us. And I know, first of all, we're bringing you here through the auspices of USA Football because you're such a great friend of that program, and we're going to promote the fact that on April 14th, this coming Saturday, the USA Football Coaching School presented by the Browns that'll be held right here at the facility in Berea, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But I wanted to ask you first about the draft and your thoughts as we move ever so close to this draft, which is exciting, I think, for a lot of reasons that pertain to the Browns, to that fourth overall pick, and that the questions and the intrigue really starts to begin after the first two or three picks projections for those who think we've got the board pretty well set with Andrew Luck and RG3 and maybe Matt Khalil at three, and then it's all bets are off in terms of deciding what's next.
Yeah, it does seem like the Browns are the breaking point, doesn't it, at four? Because it seems like we're kind of locked into the first three, although I know you and I have both heard the same, discussion chatter coming out of Minnesota where Rick Spielman, their GM, has pretty much said, we're not locked into anything. You guys have us locked in, but yeah, we're not locked in. And I remember him mentioning Morris Claiborne, the corner from LSU, as being a guy that would be, someone that would interest them greatly. And it's legit because, let's face it, the Vikings in the back end of their defense the last few years have really struggled, and that would be someone that would have interest. Although ultimately, I think that, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but ultimately I would think he'd want to take care of that young quarterback he drafted number 12 last year and go Khalil at tackle. So we get to the Browns at four. What will the Browns do? That is the question. Whatever that dollar figure we put now, what was that game show when we were kids, $64,000 question?
Yeah.
Well, we know with inflation and cost, it's way higher than that now.
In the millions, yes.
And we know that one with the number four pick. Quarterback seems to be still a need for the Browns. Is Ryan Tannehill, has he risen that much, the youngster out of Texas A&M? Because, Vic, going into the draft process, I didn't meet anyone who had him any higher than a late one.
Right.
Okay? So late one all the way to number four in the draft, can it happen? Well, last year, look at how high Drake Locker rose. Look at how high Christian Ponder rose. Look at the value that's placed on the quarterback position in the league. He could very well be that guy. If he's not, do they evaluate running back? Peyton Hill's no longer there, right? Montario Hardesty has been dinged up a lot. What are you going to do with the running back position? So does that mean the Alabama kid, Trent Richardson, becomes the coveted guy? Wide receiver is a screaming need. And, last week I had I was so locked in on the Browns needing wide receivers. In my mock draft that I did on TV, I gave him two. I gave him one at four and one at 22.
Wow.
I mean, what was I thinking? All right, so somehow I absolutely screwed that up, but not because I didn't consider it a need. It was. It's a huge need.
Yeah.
I just got screwed up because Justin Blackmon could go there.
Sure.
I actually gave him Justin Blackmon in the mock draft and totally screwed up the idea, hey, I already gave him Blackmon at four. Why did I give him Stephen Hill from Georgia Tech at 22? It made no sense in terms of that. But is it a screaming need, and do they need multiple receivers? Yes. The answer is yes. I just doubt that they would use two picks in the first round to do that. That's a total error on my part.
Yeah, but, I was going to say some Browns fans might have wanted to hug you for that because you talk about screaming. A lot of Browns fans screaming for wide receivers. And I think the beauty, though, of this whole Browns discussion is that it can go as many different ways as you just presented. Every one of those scenarios makes sense, and it does make sense to me if a Matt Khalil does by some chance fall to four. My basic football instinct and the purest attitude that I have about this game, Charles, is that you do have to put a really good blocker in front of your quarterback, in front of your running back, to have success there. And it's not to say that skilled people don't make a difference for you, but if you could get another Joe Thomas opposite Joe Thomas, you're doing all right.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. And boy, that would be how tremendous would that be? The tough part for people in their projections with Matt Khalil is, we always hear about if you're a right tackle only, that makes it difficult, limits your opportunities because, you're not agile enough to play that left side, which is the money side.
Right.
the question I think people would have is Matt Khalil, the road grader that you're looking for on the right side. Because the right side guy is usually a little bit more that run blocking,
power guy,
big, thick power guy. And Matt Khalil is athletic, light on his feet, dancing guy. I'm not sure he fits in that role, but let's just be honest about it. If you have a chance to put Khalil front one tackle and Joe Thomas at another, you'll take your chances.
Yeah, you'll figure it out, too. And talking with some other offensive line folks, I mean, the feedback I get, people who know that position well, Charles, tell me that it's as much about the footwork, too. I mean, we definitely, you want power, you want size, but I've seen big guys who aren't able to get themselves in position to do the work in run blocking as well, just because they can't move their feet. And I think maybe Khalil's footwork and technique could be benefits there, as of course he adds some weight and whatever else needs to be done to give him what's necessary to play the position.
And the other part that goes along with it, the way the game is played now, Vic, you know, the idea that one guy's a run guy, power guy, and one guy's a dancing guy is probably pretty outdated.
Yeah.
Because now it's not just that. It's just simply, guess what? We throw the ball 3 out of 4 downs now.
Sure.
You got to protect the quarterback from both sides. It's not just, you know, one pass rush on one side and that's what you deal with. You've got them coming from all areas. It's just like the secondary now. If your safeties can't cover, if you're just circling in the box safety, that really limits what you do on defense, and people can't have that anymore because you could be a nickel on first down nowadays.
Charles Davis from NFL Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Charles, you every day on that set in L.A. with NFL Network, of course, you're dealing with a lot of different stories, draft-related stories and otherwise. But I think as we study this draft and on the heels of a free agent period that wasn't overwhelming in the way of activity, it's telling me that a lot of teams have their focus on this draft, not just the Browns, but other teams in this league have their focus on this draft being critical to filling and addressing a lot of the needs and holes that they have, that they would still have post-free agency.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the draft is the lifeblood, as you know, Vic, and you're using free agency to plug some holes. And maybe when you think you don't have a chance to get the guy that you really want in the draft or fill that position, you're trying to do that in free agency. But that's such, you know, both sides are a crapshoot in a lot of ways. We know that. But you always feel better about building younger and a guy that you take from day one in your system as opposed to pulling from somewhere else and then projecting him in your system and hoping that that works out. We've all seen a number of times guys who have been good players in this league.
Sure.
Change teams, change systems, and they're not the same guy anymore. And I think for talent evaluators, they'd much rather feel like, hey, I'm taking this kid somewhat raw from college, who's more likely to listen to what we want done and get that done from in that way. So,
what's your general take? I know you study all the teams, but I know you keep an eye on this Browns team, and you and I have talked from time to time. I think we had a discussion about this back at the Senior Bowl when we were together there in Mobile, Alabama, about the Browns and what, you know, you went into your mock thinking again, receiver help. How much do you see adding a supporting cast to the benefit of a Colt McCoy, that you can see this team improving from what it was last year if these right parts are added, these playmakers are added along the way? Do you see a significant dramatic improvement?
I do, and the thing that I worry most about with Colt is how is he? You know, I mean, the way things ended last year was pretty horrific. You know, and just how is he in terms of getting back in the saddle and getting back out there again? I know, you know, everything I hear is the word go. Mm-hmm. The other question I have for the team is, how do they truly feel about him? Because if they really feel like he's not the guy, that leads me more to thinking that they might go ahead at 4 and take a Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if not, do they use 22 now? Well, I mean, I've forgotten what number Brady Quinn was, but it was somewhere around 22, wasn't it, where they traded back in to go get him?
Yep.
Almost like imitating itself again. Do you say, okay, we'll pass on Tannehill, and we'll get ourselves what we think is a really good player, one of those top 6 guys, right? Because we've kind of said there's 6 guys in the draft that are top 6 on everyone's board in whatever order they've got them. They're the ones we think are impact right away. So So do they go back in and get a top six guy, get a Richardson, get a Justin Blackman, and do they come back and take that gamble at 22 and all of a sudden Brandon Weeden is a first-round guy?
He's a curious guy. He's an interesting guy.
The quarterback at Oklahoma State, because good arm. He has the if you want to look at it from a positive, he's very mature.
Yeah.
If you want to look at it as a negative, he's 29. He's going to be 29 years old.
Yeah, he's got those years in mileage, but physical mileage not so much as a player. Hey, we brought you here, of course, through USA Football. You're a great friend of that program. And coming up on Saturday, USA Football holding its Cleveland Coaching School with the Browns at our facility here in Berea, and designed specifically for youth football coaches. This is a really great program, Charles.
Yeah, it always is, because this is one of those deals when you talk about USA Football that a lot of people are still discovering. Because when we all grew up, Vic, we all knew about Little League Baseball. But Pop Warner Football was kind of what we had, and that was kind of the governing body for amateur football, but it didn't extend beyond Pop Warner. What you've got with USA Football is, it encompasses every level of football, from the pros on down or from the Pop Warner on up, however you want to look at it, trying to teach kids to play the game the right way, trying to teach the great people who give their time to coach and administrate these leagues, because that's one of the things. We always talk about the negative side. Oh, this coach went crazier. This coach screams at kids too much. That is the vast minority of the whole thing. Most of these people are giving their time, love the game, love the kids, do a fantastic job with them. USA Football is just trying to give them a chance to be better at what they do. Teach them the proper techniques on blocking and tackling, because we're trying to make the game safer, making sure they understand, what concussions look like, so these kids are treated effectively right away, right on down the line. So I think it's wonderful. It's all the fundamentals that take place. And what I love is the NFL is actively involved in it. And, Randy Lerner and the Browns are really committed to football in Northeast Ohio and throughout the state. So I just think it's wonderful. So on Saturday, just get anyone who's interested, get down there and sign up and do it. And they can register, I guess, Vic, at usafootball.com and click on Coaching School. And I know the camp runs from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Right. Age appropriate in all the teaching and techniques. I think it's terrific. usafootball.com and click on Coaching School. And go out and get yourself a little bit better. Because the beauty of it is most of the people I run into don't believe that they know it all. And they like getting more coaching and like having more techniques.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, the vast majority of these people who give their time and work with these kids, Vic, are just great, great people. And it just drives me crazy when the knuckleheads end up dominating our media time. And everyone acts like everyone out there is a knucklehead, and that's not even close to the truth.
They're the very small part, very, very small part of this. It is the guys who do it right. And if you coach football and you've got to attend just one coaching clinic this year, this is the one to do it. Again, this coming Saturday, as Charles just mentioned, here at the Browns facility. You can register online, usafootball.com, coaching school in the middle of the home page. Click on that. 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. is the timetable on that. Charles, tremendous insights. Of course, we appreciate your time talking draft and talking about the USA Football program, and we look forward to having you back on the show in the future, my friend.
Look forward to it, Vic, and I just look forward to making sure when I look at picks 4 and 22 that I probably don't have two receivers, although I can tell you what my inspiration was, and I think I can tell you, because you being such a historian of the game, you know what actually hit me when I was doing it, and I probably still missed on it? Houston Oilers, 1971 draft.
Yeah.
First round, Dan Pastorini. Third round, but their second pick in the draft, you remember who they took? Lynn Dickey.
Lynn Dickey, another quarterback. Yeah.
They went quarterback, quarterback.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, it was first round, third round, so it's not like I put two, like dummy here didn't put two in the first round, but they went back-to-back quarterbacks with their first two picks of the 1971 draft. That's almost unheard of.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you, there are Browns fans who are in love with what you did, though. I mean, you call it a mistake, they'll say, hey, no, we all more receivers, the better.
I know they need receivers, Vic. I know they need them in a big way. I'm not sure they want to bypass another good player at 22.
We hear from him every day about this. All right, he is Charles Davis, NFL Network, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford. We're brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.